Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr. with Alsperity Private Wealth. Financial planning can be overwhelming, regardless of market conditions. I specialize in retirement and legacy planning and tax minimization strategies. Protect your family and future generations without sacrificing our shared principles of hard work and American independence. Take control of your financial future. Call me, Mike Venaria Jr. at 856-252-0107.
Securities through Sanctuary Securities, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services through Sanctuary Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Kennedy Jr. has been named the Health and Human Services Administrator, which oversees the FDA, the CDC, NIH, a whole bunch of other federal agencies. This is big. This is a big deal. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. saying, I've never been anti-vaccine. Obviously, those concerns are going to come up. And he also said he's not going to mandate that local governments remove fluoride from the water, but he's going to strongly advise that they do so. I just don't want them to ban Skittles because I don't want any government bans whatsoever. But this is going to be a big deal. What I'm amazed at is how many states are now rediscovering states' rights and saying that they're going to implement their own health policies, their own. Yeah, you know, I mean, like, the real question is in the year 2024, do we need so much federal government? And we'll explore more of that as Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy get to work. But Steve's in Jamison. He wanted to talk about Matt Gaetz. Steve, thanks for your patience and holding. How you doing?
All right. How you doing?
I'm doing great, buddy. I'm doing great. I'm fired up. What's going on?
I love your show, and I really need you to answer a few questions I have about Trump's picks.
Okay.
Two of them, Matt Gaetz and Pete. Matt Gaetz, first of all, when I heard that, I was excited. I went, wow, why would Trump, this is what I thought, why would Trump pick a man who has no friends on the left side of the aisle and he's got enemies on the right side of the aisle? I want you, when I'm all done, to comment and think about, if he picks Matt Gaetz, does he really think that he has a chance getting through Senate confirmation? And Pete, young bronze star, two bronze stars, dealing with Washington military establishment, mm-hmm. knowing that he wants to shake things up. All the rest of his picks, I think, will make it through. This is my opinion. I also want to know what your thoughts are on whom you think is not going to make it of all his picks.
Okay, sure. I'll answer all that off the air for you. Does that sound good?
Yes.
Okay, my friend, you got it. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. I don't think Trump likes to lose anything. So I don't think Trump would set up any pick to fail. Like, I know that's a theory going around about Matt Gaetz. I don't think that's the case. I think Trump wants somebody who's going to be a human hand grenade to go into DOJ and blow all this stuff up. And my guess is there's nothing to the allegations around Matt Gaetz. I don't think this is some four-dimensional chess thing. I don't think Trump wants to lose. I don't think Trump likes losing anything. So that's my sense of it. I think that Pete Hegseth will get through easily. I think Tulsi Gabbard will get through. I think, you know, the two that are going to have the biggest problems, I think, are Kennedy and Gaetz. But the real question is, will Republicans really want to cross him? I mean, I know Collins and Murkowski will, but all he needs is 50, and he's got J.D. Vance as the tiebreaker. But that third Republican, do you really want to be that person? So, you know, and he also has the ability to do the recess appointments, at least to hold them in power for temporarily. while he makes a lot of very fundamental, drastic changes to these agencies, like a sledgehammer. Look, we'll talk more about the recess appointments issue of this, but so the first question about Pete Hegseth, why Trump wants Hegseth at the fence. He seems to want a culture warrior to take on the military brass. There are bigger security issues, is what the Wall Street Journal says. Now, the Wall Street Journal, you know, is a very pro-interventionist kind of a newspaper. It's and got an interesting relationship with Rupert Murdoch, which is where Pete Hegseth works at Fox News. Obviously, it's owned by them. But they write the following: the choice of Mr. Hegseth has shocked many in Washington, and that by itself may be a recommendation. He could hardly do worse than the so-called adults in the room of recent years. The armed services can't make their recruiting quotas. America's military-industrial base has been exposed as inadequate with little protest from Pentagon leaders. And no one in the civilian or military ranks was held accountable for the Afghanistan debacle. The 44-year-old Mr. Hegseth has combat experience in Afghanistan and Iraq and has maintained his military ties as an officer in the National Guard. He has been an advocate for veterans both on TV and as a member of veterans groups. He's smart, intelligent. Yet he's never run a big institution, much less one of the largest and most hidebound on the planet. He has no experience in government outside the military, and no small risk is that the bureaucracy will eat him alive. The nominee's focus in recent years has been attacking the Pentagon for its woke policies on transgender and racial equity. He has made a case of opposing women in combat, but women have shown that they can perform well in many roles. Mr. Trump seems to want Mr. Hegseth to wage a culture war against the military brass. The Biden-era woke excesses need to be cleaned up, not at least for recruiting from military families who have long prized the service for its devotion to excellence. Peacetime militaries tend to lapse into promotion based on administrative skill rather than war-fighting capability. But in the context of America's security challenges, wokeness is still a concern. The other thing, too, I think is also really important here is that the Secretary of Defense is not just, yes, it is the, you're in charge, but you have a lot of other people around you. The Joint Chiefs of Staff, generals, admirals. I mean, you know, the Pentagon is a huge operation. It's very possible that Trump views this much like how a CEO views a company. Which is you get somebody at the top to lay out a vision, and then you have very strong COOs who implement the day-to-day stuff. That's how Trump has always kind of done things, and I think it's worked out well for him in that sense. I don't think he needs the Secretary of Defense to be somebody who is dealing with the day-to-day management of the Pentagon. You know, you're like worrying about making payroll and things like that. He needs somebody who's going to craft a vision that is going to align with his vision and is going to make sure that the Pentagon, the United States military, and that most importantly, the troops in the field get the resources and the support that they need, and so that you don't have faceless, nameless bureaucrats at the Department of Defense setting them up for failure. There's still going to be a lot of military brass in that building. It's not like it's a one-man show. There's like thousands and thousands of people that work in the Pentagon. It's one of the largest agencies. The Department of Defense is probably overall the largest agency of government. The secretary is one of many people who run the place. But the key is the secretary imparts a vision. And that's the key thing that is also really important. So, you know, I think that's an important point to know. Trump has made a couple of other appointments. He announced his intent to nominate former Congressman Doug Collins as the United States Secretary for Veterans Affairs. He's a Georgia guy, currently serves our nation as a chaplain in the United States Air Force Reserve Command and fought for our country in the Iraq War. We must take care of our brave men and women in uniform. And Doug will be a great advocate for our active duty service members, veterans, and military families to ensure that they have the support they need. Thank you, Doug, for your willingness to serve our country in this very important role. He's also nominated Todd Blanche, will serve as Deputy Attorney General. Todd is an excellent attorney. He'll be a crucial leader in the Justice Department, fixing what has been a broken system of justice for far too long. Todd prosecuted gangs and other federal crimes as a chief in the Southern District of New York, United States Attorney's Office, clerked for two federal judges, and graduated with honors from law school while working full-time at the SDNY. Todd is going to do a great job as we make America great again. And Emil Bove will serve as Principal Associate Deputy Attorney General in his administration as well. So look, there's a lot of people who work under these people. There's going to be, you know, the chief of staff to the Secretary of Defense. There's going to be the Undersecretary for Defense. There's lots and lots of layers here. But I think Trump wants people close to him who will put forward his vision and not afraid to challenge the bureaucracy and the conventional norms. But obviously a guy like Hegseth, since he's never worked in the Pentagon, is going to need people who are familiar with the day-to-day operations of it, and they'll have that. I mean, but look, you know, companies bring in CEOs from outside of their company all the time. They bring in people who to turn a company around who've never even worked in that industry before sometimes, get a fresh pair of eyes. But Hegseth is a warrior, and he is looking out for warriors, and, you know, that might be a refreshing change of pace. The other thing, too, that is also important to note, and this is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com, the master of implant dentistry. If you've already had an implant consultation, go see Dr. Mike for your second opinion, VeneriaDental.com, 856-786-2020. Is that people like Tulsi Gabbard, people like Robert F. Kennedy Jr., people like Matt Gaetz, these are people that have a lot of enemies. And they've made enemies by not being afraid to challenge conventional norms. Donald Trump is all about challenging conventional norms. He's a walking bull in a china shop. He's a walking human hand grenade himself. And this time he's going in to serve one term and to accomplish things reforming the executive branch of government. So far, what I see is he's laying the groundwork for that fundamental revolutionary reforms in these big bloated agencies that have done things the same way for decades and enabled the bureaucrats within the agencies to hide like rats and get things done sometimes that undermine the actual administration that's supposed to be in charge. A guy like Matt Gaetz is not going to allow people at the Department of Justice to hide. Same thing with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He's not going to allow bureaucrats at the FDA to hide. Same thing with Hegseth at Defense. That seems to me to be the thing that they all have in common. Tulsi Gabbard, as Director of National Intelligence, understands first and foremost the power of the government going after its own people, since she has been placed on the Quiet Skies program and has been treated like a terrorist, even though she's a lieutenant colonel in the United States Army Reserve. These are serious people. They're just people that have a lot of enemies and about to get a lot more enemies. But in Washington, as the old saying goes from Harry Truman, if you want a friend in Washington, get a dog. You know, I mean, it's just the way it goes. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. will have a little bit of a tough time to answer my caller's last question regarding his confirmation. He's going to have to answer for a lot of things that he said in the past. And I don't think it's going to be necessarily an easy confirmation for him. But the question is going to be, who wants to be the third senator to cross Trump? Because we know that Collins and Murkowski are going to vote no. Who wants to be number three? Now, a lot of people are calling on the Gaetz report to be released. Now, CNN is all over this, by the way. They're all over this idea of the Matt Gaetz ethics report to be released. And, you know, there's all these rumors about him and underage girls and all this other stuff. I have a hard time believing Donald Trump would nominate him knowing it was destined to fail. Does that seem to be who Trump is to you? Even if he is playing some four-dimensional chess game or something like that, I don't know. I just don't see him being the kind of guy that likes to lose, and I don't think he would intentionally set up somebody to lose, knowing that it is ultimately going to be a reflection on him and his ability to control his own party. Because Washington's the kind of place where they smell blood in the water immediately like that. So That, you know, that's where that stands right there. And I think what Kevin McCarthy said, he said Matt Gaetz is not going to be confirmed. I guess, why would Trump send him up there? Why would Trump put his name forward? What's the point of that, to lose? And then the swamp feels like they got to win. So if there is some four-dimensional chess game here, I don't see it. So maybe the whole thing with Matt Gaetz is pure BS. Maybe there is nothing there. Maybe the guy's record is clean and it's going to be the ultimate I told you so. I don't know. Cut number five was Kevin McCarthy, former House Speaker, talking about, and he hates Matt Gaetz because Matt Gaetz led the revolution against him that outed him as Speaker of the House, ousted him as Speaker of the House. Cut number five.
You know, we've had names like Rubio, Waltz, Gaetz even. I mean, how do you make, what do you make of the choices so far?
I think choices are very good, except one. Look, Gaetz won't get confirmed. Everybody knows that. But when you look at a Rubio, just the knowledge that he has, being in the Intel committee, I was on the Gang of Eight, and his understanding, even when you listen to the other side of the aisle, they say he'll make a great Secretary of State.
CNN's Shermichael Singleton defended Tulsi Gabbard as a contributor to CNN, who talks about Tulsi Gabbard here. And this is what Shermichael Singleton said. Cut 13.
Shermichael, what is your take on someone like Gabbard potentially being the director of national intelligence?
Look, first of all, everyone has to go through a Federal Bureau of Investigation background check, a pretty extensive one. I was a presidential appointee. They go back for a very long time. Now, let's go over Tulsi Gabbard's record. I mean, she graduated top of her class from the Alabama Military Academy, the first woman to do so. She did a tour in Iraq, a tour in Kuwait. She was deployed to the Horn of Africa, supporting a special operations mission. So she certainly has some level of a military pedigree as a lieutenant colonel that I don't think many people would necessarily dismiss. Now, she has been very skeptical of wanting to involve U.S. troops in foreign wars. And there's a ton of data that would suggest the vast majority of the American people in both political parties actually would agree with that. And so I can certainly see how the president-elect and his team would make a concerted effort to not only support her selection, nomination, and ultimately confirmation, but would say these are the things that we would point to suggest that she is a pretty good pick.
There you go. I think she's a great pick. I love Tulsi Gabbard. I'm excited about this pick. I think it's wonderful. I really do. I think it's outstanding. All right, listen, part of the thing about the government spying on you, tracking you everywhere, is that it's a real thing. It needs to be rooted out, no doubt about it. There are also companies spying on you. There are hackers and scammers out there as well. And this is why I subscribe to Privacy Pro from DuckDuckGo. Privacy Pro is a 3-in-1 subscription service, which includes DuckDuckGo VPN, personal information removal, and identity theft restoration, 3 features for the price of 1. And it is so great for $10 a month. Come on, you need this. Listen, I'm in New York right now, traveling all day today. I know my data, though, secure on my iPhone, secure on my MacBook, because I'm on my VPN, even though I'm on a public Wi-Fi here. I know my data is secure when I'm home, because my internet provider, Xfinity, can't see my data. I know that there are people out there looking for personal information about me because they hate me. And I know that DuckDuckGo's personal information removal will scrub the internet and get all that crap off there for me, so people don't know my address or where I live, even if people rat about me in the YouTube chat. And I also know that if, God forbid, somebody ever steals my identity, DuckDuckGo is going to get it back with identity theft restoration. This is what you get. You get all that for $10 a month, and here's the best part. Sign up for a 7-day trial by going to duckduckgo.com/1210. Duckduckgo.com/1210. You see how easy it is to use on your mobile devices, on your laptop, and for $10 a month to know you're protected. And you know, listen, there's a lot of VPNs out there. You hear the commercials for them. This is the DuckDuckGo VPN. It's that level of privacy and security that you need. That's right. So do it today. Go to duckduckgo.com/1210. Duckduckgo.com/1210.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr. with Allsperity Private Wealth. No matter your occupation, whether you work for a big company or you're a small business owner, everyone wants to keep as much of their earnings as possible. I specialize in tax minimization strategies and retirement planning that'll help you build a strong financial future for you and your future generations. Call me, Mike Venaria Jr. at 856-252-0107.
Securities through Sanctuary Securities, Inc., member FINRA SIPC, advisory services through Sanctuary Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So much uncertainty.
Oh, fired up. Yeah. Been 12 hours. 12 hours. So, just so you know, got in the car this morning at 6 o'clock, came up to New York, did Fox News, America's Newsroom this morning with Dana Perino and Bill Hemmer. Happy birthday, Bill Hemmer. Jimmy Fallon's show, my show. So at this point now, I've officially lost my freaking mind. Now, Matt DeSantis, be honest with me, because you're always honest with me. Was I low energy on America's Newsroom?
No, I thought it was good. You texted me and said, oh, I don't think I did too well. And I had watched part of it, but I didn't watch the full 3 or 4 minutes just yet. I went back, I looked at it. No, you were fine.
No, it's not that I didn't do well. It's low energy. And here, the reason why is because when I'm on Jimmy's show on Saturday nights, it's like a totally different environment. So you're shot out of a cannon because it's, you know, it's funny, it's comedy. America's Newsroom is much more serious. So you want to be a little more subdued. You don't want to go in there and be like, yeah, man, you know, like, Casey, like, F that guy. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a different vibe.
I think if you brought the attitude you bring to Jimmy Fallon's show to Bill Hemmer and Dana Perino, you would not be invited back again.
I wouldn't be invited back.
No, I think you were perfect.
Yes, Kirk?
No, I was going to say, I thought you were fine. You're very even keel. You weren't low energy. You were kind of like right in the middle.
All right, that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah.
Even keel. All right, that's good.
Plus, for those quick hits, those like 4 minute segments, I think your priority should be to make at least one or two really interesting points. And I think you achieved that goal.
It went viral, the whole thing about me saying it was a scam. Dana said I did great. You were great. So there you go. She said it's great to have you. So there you go. She wouldn't lie to me.
Wait, did you text Dana for reassurance, or did she send that unsolicited?
No, I didn't. No, I'm not. Last night, Jimmy was busted by chops. He's like, you insecure F. Like, it's not that. I just, you know, but it was about improving in life. You know, you want to, you know, it's like, you know, you want to rest on your laurels, you know. But, you know, I walked with him and I said something about, I don't know what it was. This woman came up to me last night. She goes, I love your show, Jimmy. And I said, do you love when I'm on it? And he turns to me and goes, would you shut up, you insecure F? I said, that's fair. Oh, it's all fun and games. Thanks for coming out last night. I hope you had a good time if you joined us. And thank you to the Media Theater. They were outstanding hosts. We really appreciate it. Media Theater is beautiful. Thanks to the Media Borough Police for protecting us last night. I appreciate it very much. Kept us nice and safe. And the whole crew, the whole team that was there, and Walter Kosh and Bonnie Hoffman, Melissa Riggs, our own Kirk, the street teamers who were there. Everybody did a great job. Really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun. Politics and Pints. It's a great thing we do in our station. I don't know, somebody accused me of ripping that off from Chris Plant. I don't listen to Chris Plant's show, so I have no idea what the hell the guy does. That's number one. And no offense to him, I just don't listen to it. But number two, I mean, he may be great. I don't know. I listen to our station. But number two, Politics and Pints is our station's idea. It's not my idea. Number three, I doubt Chris Plant had Jimmy Fallon on his show doing an event with him. People say the weirdest things on the weirdest comments I get sometimes, you know? But
they're trolls.
It's like there are trolls out there. Definitely trolls. No doubt about that. And John Fetterperson thinks that Trump is trolling everybody with his Matt Gaetz pick. That still might be my favorite clip of the day today. John Fetterperson saying that. We still have that clip, right? Is that cut number one, I think it is, right?
Yeah, I have it ready if you want it.
Yeah, let's take a listen.
What do you think of all these Trump bets, including Matt Gaetz?
I put out a tweet about it. I mean, clearly, it's just kind of like a God-tier kind of trolling, just to trigger a meltdown. But really, the Dems' opinions on Gaetz, that's not really what's interesting. What to me is interesting is going to, those are good, the good ones are going to come by my colleagues on the other side, the GOP, on how they can justify voting for that jerk.
Do you think that Senator, President Trump actually
Senator.
Wants?
All right, that's enough. Thank you. That, Senator, is unnecessary. Where's the civility and the decorum? Stop it. That's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. He is the master of implant dentistry, the master of making you look your best. Go see him today for your perfect smile. And yes, he is my family's dentist. We all go to see him. My wife just had a beautiful smile done from Dr. Mike. So VeneriaDental.com. Look, I don't know where all this goes from here. I do know one thing, though, and that is that Matt Gaetz will make sure the Epstein list comes out, the Diddy list comes out. The I'll tell you, I mean, and if he does manage to get through, a guy like Matt Gaetz better have really good security around him. Trump is such a disruptor, too. I hope he's got really good security around him. We were talking about this last night. I mean, you know, they tried to kill Trump. They did. And there are people now who are terrified of what's going to be exposed in government by guys like Gaetz and Elon Musk and Kennedy and Tulsi Gabbard and other people like this. I mean, there's panic. There is panic in Washington right now because so many of these people have covered up so many things for years to protect each other. The bureaucrats protecting the bureaucrats. I'm telling you, there's an absolute panic. You may think Matt Gaetz is the biggest a-hole in the world, and maybe he is. I don't know. All I'm saying is, they are terrified of him getting into the Department of Justice. And it's not because they're worried about him doing lines of cocaine on the desk. Hell, people in Washington do that all day long. It's because they're worried about him exposing all of the secrets of the people that went after Donald Trump for all these years, that went after the American people, and things like the Epstein list. And they're worried that between him and Tulsi, they'll expose whether Epstein was a deep state asset, a spy, January 6th, all the people that were involved in that on the government's behalf. All these things. There is panic in Washington right now. That much I can promise you. All right, we got more to come on our fourth and final hour here on the show today. Thank you so much again for being with us last night in media. We had a blast. My thanks to Jimmy for making the trip down. It was fun. Thank you for coming. This is hour number four on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Coming right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Very happy. Understands transitions very, very well. And I want to welcome Steve Malloy, former transition member of President Donald Trump's team. And Steve, thank you for joining us here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. I appreciate it.
Hey, Rich, it's great to be here. And just so no one gets confused, that's transition team.
Transition team.
Transition is a bad word to be using.
Well, yes, it's a good point. In this day and age, you got to clarify these things.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Steve Malloy, senior E&E Legal Institute fellow and former Trump EPA transition team member, founder of JunkScience.com. I got to tell you, man, I love JunkScience.com. This is a really, really cool site. And you have the top 10 climate and energy action items for President Donald Trump to tackle on day number one. So first question I want to ask you is, are you happy with the pick of Lee Zeldin to be the administrator of the EPA?
Yeah, I think he's going to do great. You know, he's young, he's MAGA-pilled, and I think he's going to implement 47s. I think, you know, we're going to rein in EPA, we're going to rein in the climate hoax, and we're going to grow the American economy. And that's his mission, and I think that's what he's going to do.
Good. Excellent. All right. Excellent. So you've outlined the top 10 things that we need to do right now to save our country from the nonsense and the Green New Scam. And I'm all in on this with you, by the way. So let's go through it one on one. First, number one, Paris Climate Treaty and endangerment finding.
Yeah. So we've got to make sure that we have no international obligations with respect to climate. That's the Paris Climate Treaty. President Trump should just submit that, pretend that thing is a treaty, submit it to the Senate where it'll die. The EPA regulatory action underlying all the climate stuff is called the endangerment finding. It's where EPA decided that, you know, carbon dioxide, also known as plant food, is some sort of threat to public health and welfare. That needs to be redone, and you know, we need to get rid of it because carbon dioxide is just plant food. It's not hurting the planet or the atmosphere or anything like that.
Okay. In other words, I'm exhaling it right now. Is that true?
You
is
are.
That a fact?
Yeah, absolutely.
I hope so.
Yeah.
All right, good. And the Paris Climate Treaty, just so everybody knows, was never ratified by the United States Senate, and it's nonsense. And but the goal, as I see it, is for the international cabal of bond villains to take away American sovereignty and control all of this through the World Economic Forum and the United Nations and have total control over United States and our energy policy.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, the Paris Climate Treaty was this ruse developed by the Obama administration. They knew they couldn't get an international climate treaty, you know, passed the Senate. So they just came up with this thing they call an executive agreement. Mm-hmm. And in Trump 1, you know, we tried to withdraw out of the agreement per the agreement's, you know, provisions. But all that did was set us up for Joe Biden to take us back in when he became president. So this time, let's just send it to the Senate. It's going to die there. It will never pass. And we won't have to worry about being taken back in it by a future president because it's already been submitted to the Senate and essentially rejected.
EV mandate and California waiver. So first of all, I think one of the reasons why President Trump won is that Michigan auto workers are smart enough to know that it takes less of them to make EVs, and they didn't want to sign up with people who are going to take away their jobs. President Trump has been out there very vocally and saying, listen, if you want to drive an electric car, knock yourself out. I mean, Tesla, Elon Musk is his buddy, and, you know, I was in a Tesla today. I personally have a gas-powered car, but the mandate is what needs to go.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with owning EVs. President Trump talked about this a lot on the campaign trail, but the government ought not mandate it,
right.
And they ought
right.
not subsidize them. You know, Musk makes a great car, Tesla. Let people who can afford it and who want that to buy it, and the government has got nothing to do with that. The other part of this is the California waiver. The California waiver is this provision in the Clean Air Act that allows California to essentially dictate car standards nationally, which is it's unconstitutional, and President Trump could take that waiver away from California, which he should.
So even though California put in a state mandate, the president has the power to override that, you're saying?
No, California, what California does, because it's such a big state, you know, it's like seventh largest economy on the planet. What they do is they set really tight standards because they're allowed to by the Clean Air Act. And because it's such a large market, they essentially tell the car industry what kind of cars to
make. Right.
Okay. So we're not going to allow California to set national standards anymore.
Okay, good. Excellent. I'm glad to hear that. Number three, Green New Scam and grid security. So, first of all, the electric grid is something that makes me very, very nervous, and we keep plugging more and more things into it. And as all these blue, well, they're not really blue states anymore, but states that have very big blue cities keep making things like EV mandates, like New Jersey, for example, New York, California, et cetera, you just have to start plugging more things into that grid.
Yeah. So, you know, during the Biden years, Congress passed this thing called the Inflation Reduction Act, which calls for $1 trillion worth of spending on wind turbines, solar panels, EVs, batteries, crap like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what we're doing is we're weakening our grid with solar and wind, and at the same time burdening it with EVs and heat pumps and things like that. And so as a result, our grid is becoming really fragile. And then now we have these unexpected data centers coming online, making our grid even more fragile. So we've got to stop that. You know, from a national security point of view, we cannot rely on wind, solar, first of all, which all comes from China, okay, as well as the battery technology. You know, we're, every time you see a windmill or a solar panel, that just means you're dependent on China, communist China, for that. So we need to go back to having a grid that is relies on fossil fuels and nuclear power, because those are reliable. We control them entirely, and you know, we can, they're on demand. You know, wind and solar are not on-demand sources of generation. And so when you need electricity the most, the wind's not there and the solar's not there.
Steve Milloy is my guest. He's at Junk Science on X, perhaps the most influential climate science contrarian, according to Nature, Trump EPA transition team member, and Fox News contributor as well. Junkscience.com is the website. I'm grateful to have him with us right now. All right, oil and gas. I mean, that seems pretty simple. We're in Pennsylvania. Fracking was a big issue in this election. Nobody really believed that Kamala Harris wouldn't ban fracking, or they thought at best maybe, you know, she would keep it status quo. But as Elise Stefanik reminded us when she would come on the show, New York has a moratorium on fracking, and certainly if Kamala Harris had won, we wouldn't get things like liquid natural gas export facilities. And I want to remind everyone, we still have a ban on the export of liquid natural gas in this country.
Yeah. So, you know, Kamala Harris never could ban fracking because the presidency doesn't have that power. But, you know, she could kill it through a thousand cuts. There's a million different regulatory actions they can take to discourage the oil and gas industry, make fracking more expensive, harder to, you know, stop pipelines, which they've tried to do, just everything. And the Biden administration broke the law to do it. I mean, they're supposed to, you know, they were mandated to hold oil and gas leasing auctions for federal lands, coal leasing auctions for federal lands, you know, mandated for the LNG, but they broke the law. They just refused to implement it. And so that's all going to change. We're going to unleash our oil and gas industry. And, you know, we're, even though we're producing record amounts of oil right now, you know, the way the Biden administration has it set up is that, you know, the oil industry is actually depleting their reserves without replacing them because of the bans on, you know, activity on federal lands. So President Trump is going to remove all those bans. We're going to get back to business. We're going to be leasing federal lands for oil and gas exploration and drilling. We're going to be replenishing our reserves. We're going to be producing as much as we can. And it's going to be great for the economy.
Next one you have on your list, presidential appointments. You want to appoint officials at federal agencies like EPA, which we talked about, Interior, FERC. There's a lot of federal agencies involved here, probably too many. Maybe some of those will go after Elon Musk gets his hands on them.
Yeah, well, so this is sort of a no-brainer, and President Trump is already, you know, doing this. He needs to appoint MAGA-pilled people to lead these agencies. And I think that's what he's going to do. That's what he's done so far. Loyalists who are going to implement his agenda at these agencies. That didn't necessarily happen the first time. It often doesn't happen in Republican administrations. We need committed people taking these key jobs and, you know, leading these agencies, which are going to be chock full of resistance.
Right? Yeah, no, yeah.
Especially a place like EPA. Chock full of resistance. And those people, I mean, they need to be managed and crushed.
I agree 100%. I mean, they're the ones who've been the biggest abusers of executive authority, and everything from trying to regulate the water in your backyard to I mean, the EPA has been the absolute worst. But there's a lot of agencies here that are involved in this stuff.
Right.
This one's very near and dear to our hearts, Steve. Offshore wind. We hate it. We hate it. Kill it. Just kill it. Right. Kill it. Whales and dolphins.
No. The offshore wind has been killing the whales. And how do we know this? Well, the Biden administration wrote out permits allowing the foreign offshore wind companies to kill whales, dolphins, porpoises, seals. It's in the permits. You know, they can deny it all they want. It's in the permits. Mm-hmm. And so we just need to kill this stuff because it's offshore wind is the most expensive form of electricity. It's not saving the planet. It's just, it's terrible. And, you know, fortunately, President Trump hates wind too. So I see this as a no-brainer. The only bad thing is that there's all this money in the Inflation Reduction Act for offshore wind. So I think that, you know, the way to stop this is just to say, look, it's killing the whales. And yeah, we need to study this stuff and be done with it.
I mean, it's amazing, but the Republicans now are the, you know, the Save the Whales party. I love it, you know. It's really important. Yeah. And also save the view with the Jersey Shore, and we don't have to listen to these friggin' things and, you know, everything else. You've got litigation, regulatory reform, and regulatory burden. So just kind of tie those three together for us, Steve, as you would, as your top 10 climate and energy action items for President Trump.
Yeah, so, you know, agencies like EPA, Department of Interior, National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, they're all out of control. Mm-hmm. They've been using junk science for as long as I've been working on these issues, which is about 34 years.
Wow.
We just need to reform all that. When I first started out working on regulatory issues, you know, the Reagan and Bush administration required that new regulations produce more benefits than they cost. Starting with the Clinton administration, all that just went out the window. We need to get back to that. We need to get back to the point where, you know, these agencies are not lawmaking bodies unto themselves, but take direction only from Congress. And we've had a couple of Supreme Court decisions recently on that, so that'll help.
Yeah, Chevron, for example.
Yeah, there's exactly. There's a lot of litigation going on right now. President Trump just needs to get out of that. You know, let industry win these cases. The Biden administration, it's crazy, anti-American. You know, bad.
Well, you know, that's a great point, though, right? I mean, there's a lot of times where they use litigation to slow down projects to such a degree that they know that the developer will run out of money, and that's how they win. I mean, I'll just give you a great example of that. In New York State, the Adirondack Park, where my wife grew up, they wanted to do a big ski resort, you know, and the Adirondack Park Commission just kept fighting the guy in court till he eventually lost money and he had to, you know, shut the project down, even though he eventually won approval. I mean, that's happening at the state level. It's happening at the federal level. I know we can't control it on the state level, but we can certainly control it on the federal level when the federal government is, you know, using the courts to try to stop new drilling permits, trying to slow down the process of giving offshore drilling permits, for example, ANWR, whatever else. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that they do, knowing that it's their way that they're going to either just cause the developers or the investors to walk away or shut the project down altogether.
Yeah, that's a really important point, Rich, and people don't talk about it enough. You know, these environmental groups and regulators, they put so much uncertainty into these projects that investors are just, they're too scared to invest. So they just walk away and do something else. That's how Biden hurt the oil industry in the beginning and you know, basically handed control of the price of oil back to OPEC by just discouraging U.S. investors and the U.S. industry. That's going to change.
And what should the United States do when it comes to, say, you know, countries in the world like China, for example, who are major polluters in the world? Do we do anything about it? Do we just ignore it? Like, what's your advice on that?
Well, you know, if China wants to, you know, live in pollution, let them. I don't really care. I mean, they're not doing anything to the planet. It's, you know, it's their problem. What we ought to do, though, is we ought to stop buying green energy crap from China. No more solar panels, no more wind turbines, no more EVs. Sorry, Elon. No more batteries.
No, I agree.
All this stuff, it makes energy more expensive. It's not doing anything for the environment, and it makes us, and this is very important, it makes us more dependent on communist China, who is our geopolitical rival. Why would we make ourselves dependent on China? It makes no sense.
And the world's biggest polluter. So, you know,
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, but that's their problem.
Right. No, I agree. Listen, I'm with you, brother. I'm with you. Go to junkscience.com and follow him on X at junkscience. Steve Malloy, thank you, my friend, for joining us.
Rich,
this is
you.
Great.
Yep, bye-bye.
All right.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr. with Alsperity Private Wealth. No matter your occupation, whether you work for a big company or you're a small business owner, everyone wants to keep as much of their earnings as possible. I specialize in tax minimization strategies and retirement planning that'll help you build a strong financial future for you and your future generations. Call me, Mike Veneria Jr. at 856-252-0107.
Securities through Sanctuary Securities, Inc., member FINRA SIPC, advisory services through Sanctuary Advisors, LLC, and SEC-registered investment advisor.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.